From the bustling streets to the quiet corners, every town in Ireland has a story to tell. I'm Alison Curtis, and in this series, we're hitting the road to uncover the heart and soul of communities across the country. We'll be meeting people who make these places special, hear their challenges and triumphs, and celebrate the unique spirit that makes each town its own. So buckle up and join me as we discover the magic of my town, only on Today FM. Welcome back to My Town, where we journey across Ireland to discover the heart and soul of its communities. Today, we're nestled in the breathtaking beauty of Ballymacarbery, County Waterford, a village where spirit of the past and the energy of the present intertwine. Here amidst the rolling hills of the Comer Mountains, we'll explore how a small community balances tradition with innovation and how the young and old come together to shape its future. Our first stop is the Near Valley Eco Camp, a place where glamorous camping takes on a whole new meaning. I'm excited to meet Ruth Collins, the visionary behind the unique retreat. Ruth's created a haven for nature lovers, adventurers, and anyone seeking a peaceful escape.
Alison, how are you?
Great.
So this
you
is your place.
Very, very welcome to Near Valley Eco Camp.
Oh my God, this
very
is
welcome.
Stunning. The view
Thank
is
you.
Incredible already. So tell us what it is.
I mean, everyone needs to know about this place. Near Valley Eco Camp is the perfect, perfect place to just hit the pause button and get away from everything.
Okay, Ruth, we have two very special guests with us today. Who are these guys?
These are the real managing directors of the company.
Yes.
You've got Milo here.
Yes.
And you've got Daisy.
Hello.
Is the little cocker.
Hello.
And they head the PR department and the welcoming department.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
And they're rescues, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. Everything here is rescued.
These eco cabins are something else. Sleek, modern designs crafted from wood, they blend seamlessly into the surrounding landscape. It's like having your own private sanctuary nestled in the heart of nature.
They all sleep four people comfortably.
Okay.
And three of them have two single beds in the loft, and then two of them have double beds in the loft.
Do you have one that would be good for, say, a couple where one of them is a snorer? Like a separate room?
No. No.
Like
there's
a soundproof room?
No.
Sorry, Tony.
Maybe
Hagerty.
You could take two cabins.
Yeah. Actually, yeah,
you
that's
stay
a good
in one
idea.
Cabin and he stays in another cabin and then you just come together for your breakfast in the morning.
There you go. Like, you know, we talk about different parts of the country and the Wild Atlantic Way and things like that, and people are well aware of that. Mm. But the Copper Coast is out of this world, and the people who are in a busy urban lifestyle could benefit so much from just even a few days decompression.
Yes, that's exactly what I want people to do when they come here, is decompress.
Yeah.
I don't want them to have to think about anything. Don't want them to have to, you know,
worry. Just turn the phone off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just chill.
So the view is incredible now, Ruth. It's just so stunning.
It is pretty special, isn't
it? And you organised the sunshine. So
I did.
What's our panoramic? What are our landmarks?
Okay, you've got the Comeres here.
Yes.
This direction. This is the Nair Valley. This is all a special area of conservation.
Yes.
The Nair River is at the end of that ravine. That's Lacca Wood that starts there, that joins my property. And at the end of that then is the Nair River, and that's a salmon run.
Wow.
So then you've pan over then and you've got the Knockmeal Downs behind you and the Galties then are on the other side. So we're in a little kind of a little bowl here.
I can picture it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Taking a moment to soak in the tranquility of the Nair Valley, it's places like this that remind me of why I love Ireland so much. The perfect blend of natural beauty and sustainable living. I could definitely see myself coming back here with the family for a weekend getaway.
Just keep it simple. Yeah.
You've got your basics, like a comfortable bed.
Is it?
You've got your shower, the toilet, and a means of making a nice little
You're
recce.
Not washing in a bucket or peeing in a ditch.
No.
But you are very, very, very comfortable.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
Yeah.
And there are no septic tanks on site. There are ponds that process the waste from the cabins.
Right.
Wanted everything to be as sustainable that if I ever stop doing this, the business, for whatever, I get old, I'm in my 50s now, if I get old and do whatever else, that these can be just taken away and there's no impact on this land.
Yeah, that's incredible.
There's no concrete pads. There's no slabs. There's no nothing.
That is remarkable.
There are already frogs and whatever else in the ponds because you can hear them.
Yeah.
If you're here in the nighttime, you can hear the little chat.
That.
I love frogs. But there's, I'm very proud of the wildlife and the diversity that's here.
And the lack of footprint, really.
And the lack of footprint is the key to it and has been the ethos and has been at the core of it is the lack of footprint. And it's what I try to get across to people.
Yeah.
Some people come here and they've never done anything like this. Mm. Never done anything like this.
All right, time to head to the heart of Ballymacarbery. The sat-nav's guiding me to the community centre. A place that's clearly more than just a building. It's a testament to vision and dedication of the people here. This place is buzzing. The Ballymacarbery Community Centre is a hive of activity with people from all ages coming and going. It is wonderful to see a space like this thriving in a small village. Eamon, it's a pleasure to meet you.
You're very welcome.
Nice to
West
to meet
Walker,
you.
Ballymacarbery.
Yay!
At the foot of the Cumbrae Mountains.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the place and how it came to be?
The community centre started here in 2005, again by volunteers, and it was built on the back of donations from the local, from the locality, and people helping out on Saturdays and giving up their time for free, and that's what it was built on. So
nothing was here then before?
No.
This huge building, I know this is radio, but like it is a huge building with an indoor like football pitch, you've got a stage, a basketball court, like a creche, like it's huge.
Yeah, there's great facilities here, but no, it started with a green field and vision, I guess, by some local people to put something like this in place, which was mad at the time. But everybody loves it now. And, you know, it's kind of the glue that knits the community together. You know, it's the place where you see the young kids, they start out here and live their whole lives through the place and finish out here too, you know.
Yeah.
Right, we cater for funerals here, you know, so that's the...
We don't want to go there.
No, we don't want to go there, but you know, that's the kind of facility
ages.
Here. It caters for every use. So the school use it, local groups use it. Our AstroTurf facility is used for GAA, soccer, every kind of use. We have a fabulous social club that come in here every Thursday. You know, a lot of those people might meet anyone during the week, and so they get to come here once a week and have some nice food together, and it's just a fantastic community spirit here. It's a real supportive community, you know, and truly is a great place to bring up kids,
Eamon mentioned a special group that meets here regularly, a social club for local retirees.
Is she the boss, guys?
It's lunchtime, and the atmosphere is buzzing with friendly conversation and laughter.
I call this my emotional support.
Yeah.
You can get out of the house. Don't have the cooking on Thursdays. I'll hand it up to us.
Yeah.
Great crowd of people. We look forward to meeting up. A game of cards afterwards, by the way.
I just love to get together on the Thursday night, you know.
Yeah.
You meet all the people where you wouldn't, even if you're out and about.
I got involved first in the building of the houses for the elderly. We started that before the community centre.
Yeah.
So when we did that, we got funding for the building of the houses, which we built 15 houses.
Right.
And all the older people from surrounding areas throughout the valley came in to live here.
Right.
And then we found when we came to that now they were all in here, it would be nice for somebody to have something to do. So we got funding when we built the houses for a community centre. So we seconded that funding to the community centre. So then we had a place to come for the people rather than build a second community centre. So then we decided that would be a good idea to start a social club on a Thursday for the people in the houses and for the surrounds.
This is truly a multi-generational project leading from the social club from the oldest members of Ballymacarbery community to the youngest. They've even got a Montessori preschool tucked away in here too.
Thank you guys so much.
Absolute joy. And now let's step outside and meet some of the folks who made this wonderful place possible. I am so impressed with everything I've seen so far. I'd love to hear about your involvement in this project. And could you tell me your name to start?
Mick Fenton is my full name. I used to be chairman of the committee that was in the building of the community centre.
And my name is Sean Guiry, and I was used to be secretary of the community centre while it was being built and that. Yeah, the project cost 1.7 million, so we had to raise 850,000 within the community.
Wow.
And thankfully we did.
Do you get here all the time, boss?
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, we do indeed.
Yeah.
We do indeed. It's lovely here. I mean, it's not a white elephant anymore. Like, it's something the community needed. This is a community. This is a close-knit community. I mean, I've been involved with Tidy Towns for 40 years. But without the help of volunteers and... I mean, where do you get that nowadays? Like, you know,
you'd be missing it in bigger communities.
Well,
if
we last make for a long to be tractor. Of Sean to come out next Tuesday night with a shovel, they're there.
It's so amazing to hear that the community involvement and commitment were key to getting this built. But tell me, how did it come about?
It more or less grew out of a parish committee. The parish committee, I suppose, quickly was set up to do parish stuff, which St. Patrick's Hall was part of that project. And I suppose Sean, being a full-time builder, was asked to put a few figures together regarding was it viable to do up St. Patrick's Hall or a new build.
Yeah.
And the decision was taken that new build was a better option. Yeah. Now, at that point, I suppose we knew it was going to be costly. We were elected from a meeting down in St. Patrick's Hall. The five-person committee was put together by the community, which was a great starting point. And then we put letters into all the houses in the community to know how supportive they were of the project.
Yeah.
And I think that was really an eye-opener. And we got fantastic support. We put a fundraising in place where people would contribute €6 a week. I think the first year that would have netted 50-odd thousand.
Wow.
So that was a very clear message that the community were behind it. Now, you've got to bear in mind that that 50,000 came at a time where we didn't even have a site.
Yeah.
Our mindset was that we would always keep the community involved. So as part of the initial thing, we would have had meetings there to know exactly what the community wanted. And so from out of that, like that, say, for example, the gym was voted in, meeting rooms would have been voted in, AstroTurf would have been voted in.
That seems quite popular.
Yeah, and has been quite popular. And like when we got up and running, it was a good money earner as well. So like once we got the project up and running and a certain amount of it done, there was income coming through the turnstiles, which again helps to pay the bills.
It's truly inspiring to see how volunteering can transform a community. The dedication and drive of people like Mick, Sean and Pat are what makes places like this thrive and turn an idea into reality. Now, let's meet the local school. I'm eager to see how they're connected to this amazing community project. So I'm going to pop in and see what's going on. Are you one of the teachers here? Do you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Claire Byrne, and I've been a teacher in the school for about, this is my 27th year.
What?
In the school, yes.
Wow.
So I was a pupil there, and then I left, went to college, and actually when I left college, I was just lucky enough that there was a job available, and I got that job. So,
you went to the school, and your grandmother?
My grandmother taught there as well.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was in junior infants, she retired.
Right.
But when I finished junior infants, she retired, so she was there with me. And so it was lovely. So there is a great tradition
for
me there as being part of the school. And
how many students would there be?
There's about 170 in the school.
Right. And you're teaching six at the moment.
I've been teaching six for most of my career. So we often say it takes community to raise a child.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's often overused, I think. But definitely in this area, you've got so many people who are so invested in the school and in the area.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the moment we're painting the school and we have volunteers coming into it, parents, and you know, and it's just brilliant to see. And any initiative that we start, we have so many volunteers and so many people come on board to volunteer and to help, because they do take such pride in our village. Even in our school, we have a lot of teachers who would have gone to school there as well. I'm not the only one, and you know, they have come back and they're living in the area, so it is very nice. I think, you know, when you're younger and you go to college and then you might live in town for a while, but then when you decide you're supposed to have a family, you kind of want to raise them somewhere you know, and you know the people, and you know, you have families, you've lots of support and different things, so it is feel safe. Yeah, it is. It's a fabulous community to raise a child and to grow up in yourself and to work in.
Well, not only are the kids here in Ballymacarby future sports stars, music also plays a huge part of their lives. So from football to the fiddle, I hear they have a song ready for us. Shall we go listen?
Our time to tear on, show and say, love is your
set was absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much to all the children for what a wonderful performance. And a special thanks to their music teacher, Cloda, for all her hard work and dedication. Cloda, could you tell us a little bit about how music plays a role in this community project?
This is such a strong tradition of music around here. It's great to see so many kids picking it up. Yeah. I suppose myself, I got the love of music from my mom. She always had the tin whistle going when we were younger. And
so parents play the tin whistle as well, not just the kids. Okay,
well, she tries. She's brilliant. It's such a strong tradition of music around here. It's great to see so many kids picking it up. Yeah. I suppose myself, I got the love of music from my mom. She always had the tin whistle going when we were younger. And
so parents play the tin whistle as well, not just the kids.
Well, she tries. She's brilliant. But she kind of started off the school band in Valley McGarvery.
Oh, wow.
And she really gave them such a grow for the music and encouraged them. And it's great. Now we have, I think, nearly 30 kids in our band in school. Yeah, it's handy to have them in school as well, getting them, playing for the communions and confirmations. And they love doing it, and it gives them really good confidence.
What would be your advice as a music teacher for parents listening who are like, I really want little Jimmy to pick up an instrument? What would you say?
I suppose just really stick with the practicing. I know it's hard to take even 10 minutes out of the day.
Yeah.
And the screechy stage, which doesn't last forever. I was at that stage myself once, but it's just, I suppose, to keep going with it.
From the heartwarming melodies of the school choir, we are now going to make our way to the heart of sporting spirit in Ballymacarbery, the ladies' Gaelic football field. The energy here is contagious. It is clear that sport plays a huge role in bringing this community together. I'm meeting two ladies now who play for the club. Oh, here they are. Hi.
Welcome to Ballymacarbery Ladies Football Pitch, and this is the midfield, we call it. Locally, it's known as the midfield, and my name is Aileen Wall, and this is my...
I'm Mairead Wall, her sister.
And you've both been playing for the team for a while.
Yeah, I'm actually out injured at the moment, but I'm their biggest supporter. I'm at all their games, but yeah, Aileen is still playing.
But we've been playing, since we were 4 years old, I'd say. Yeah. We've been coming down to train, and we've stuck with the team for as long as...
But the team has, a really remarkable story. Like your winning streak, your heritage, you have to tell people about this, because I didn't believe it when I read it.
Yeah. So we've had we've been in 17 All-Irelands, All-Ireland club finals. Last year actually was most recent. We hadn't been in for a long time before that.
Yeah.
And then
we've won 10 All-Ireland club titles.
Yeah.
We've won 16 Munster titles.
Yeah.
Club Munster titles, and we've won 42
County finals
in a row. We won, I think, a few more than that, but 42 in a row.
Has anyone ever done that? Another club in the country has never.
I don't.
That's
no, I don't think so.
42.
42. It sounds like people think you're just walking the county final every year.
No.
But it's not like last year.
We won by a point. It's gone to extra time, loads of times, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's something getting us over the line, maybe.
Yeah.
But we've had really, there's been huge competition in the county for years, but thankfully we've been on the right side of it.
Yeah.
We don't want to be on the losing team.
I mean, we just grew up playing football. There wasn't really much else to do. And you kind of you joined the club, and most people stuck with it. Our best friends are playing ladies football, and that's who we grew up with. And I suppose you just did it, and then you kind of
buy into
the tradition, and you really want to keep it going.
In school, it was pushed in school, and that was our activity, to go out and play football at lunch and stuff. So it was being pushed from everywhere, and I suppose then you see these people winning titles and stuff. That's what you want.
You want there to be a fun element, but kids aren't silly. They know when you get to, they want to, progress and get better. It's not even just about the winning, but it's that they're getting better, and that you have to be competitive to get better,
And I think it teaches you a bit of life skills as well, and be a bit resilient. Get up, when you fall down, get up and get going again. And our mother wouldn't have ever been
much pity when you get home.
Tell you to get up and get on with it.
We were told we played bad,
but we got on with it. And it helps you build a bit of resilience. We find it very hard at the moment to get coaches. I suppose they're maybe drawn. There's a lot going on now in children's lives and stuff, so it's not always
so many different sports and activities. So.
Which is great, that they're getting out and stuff, but I suppose ladies football, we need to keep coaches in the game and stuff. So it's trying to stay on the committee and keep the club going and keep it organised.
From the vibrant energy and humor of the Retirees Social Club to the enthusiasm of the children's choir and the passionate drive of the football field, it is clear that Ballymacarbery is a community brimming with life and spirit. We've witnessed the incredible power of volunteering, the transformative impact of community projects, and the unwavering dedication of individuals who pour their hearts into making their town a better place. Ballymacarbery is a shining example of what can be achieved when people come together with a shared vision. It's a testament to the strength of community bonds, the importance of supporting one another, and the unwavering belief in the power of my town. Thank you, Ballymacarbery, for welcoming me into your vibrant community and sharing your inspiring stories. Until next time, keep shining bright and up the Daisha. My Town is presented by me, Alison Curtis. Audio by Cathal O'Sullivan. Scripting and sound design by Lachlan Hart. Researcher, Shannon Kenny. Executive producer, Mark Lenihan. This project is co-funded by Commission Naman under the Sound and Vision Scheme.